SlimFitCities.com. You want to get skinny? Be like me, Rook. I lost 40 pounds, kept it off for 8 months with Slim for Life Weight Loss Centers.
If you've recently sustained...
Yo, that's him right up there. Stop the car right here.
Gang violence.
Gunshots. On 5th and Vine.
Police. Jail. A family.
It's gonna be okay.
A brother alone.
Hey, little man, come here. What you got on your back?
A sister afraid. A father worried.
Son, are you okay?
A child without. A mother counting the days till her boy is home.
I just hope my baby's safe.
These are the sounds of gang violence. From the day you're sentenced, your family starts facing the true hard time with you. Something to think about before you commit a gun crime. Gun crimes hit home. This message brought to you by Project Safe Neighborhoods and the Ad Council.
The Talk Station, AM 1500 KSTP.
It's 3:01 at the Talk Station, AM 1500 KSTP, St. Paul in Minneapolis. I'm Dave Thompson. We're here with continuing live coverage this evening and interrupting the 5 Eyewitness News coverage for a bit of a break here to get you caught up to date on the summary of the things that have taken place. I'm joined by Nancy Fox from the AM 1500 KSTP newsroom. Nancy, we do want to go over some of the same things we've talked about before, because obviously not everybody has heard them, but have you got anything new for us, any developments or things that people ought to know about?
Really no new developments. I think the best we can do right now is recap for those people who maybe had to go to bed early so they could get up and go to work early. The bridge collapsed shortly after 6 o'clock tonight, and at last report, they're assuming, they being the authorities, that there are probably still about 50 cars that are in the river. Those people are presumed dead, so it is a recovery effort. I understand that the dive teams will organize a little past daybreak this morning to get an update on what lies before them and what their duties are as they continue the efforts.
All right, and Nancy, I think the most important message to get across to people as we are now just 2.5-3 hours from the onset of the morning rush is to stay away from downtown Minneapolis. If you don't have to be there, do not pass through it. If you're going east or west, you must go 694 on the north, 494, or perhaps 62 Crosstown on the south. Obviously, north and south routes, you'd want to take 35E. If you're going from the, you know, one end of the metro to the other, or 169, 100, that type of thing, do not, under any circumstances, go through Minneapolis. If you are going into Minneapolis, you're going to have to do it. If you're coming in from the north, you're going to have to come down 94 and head in that direction, or perhaps 35E into St. Paul and then over across on 94. And then talk a little bit about the, Nancy, about the Highway 280 alternative as well.
Right. Highway 280, in essence, is going to replace northbound and southbound I-35W. It's going to be converted into a temporary freeway. So what they're going to do is discontinue access at Broadway Avenue and at County Road B. There are lights at both locations, and they're not going to turn the lights off, but they're going to keep the lights green so that the travelers on Highway 280 never have to stop. That is why they're closing off access points at Broadway Avenue and County Road B. Dave, I also want to add that southbound 35W will be allowed to advance only as far as Stinson and New Brighton Boulevard. If you're familiar with that area, that's where the Quarry Shopping Center is located.
Mm-hmm.
And then access to northbound 35W will be allowed from Stinson, New Brighton Boulevard, and from no points south of that area.
All right, very good. Now, in a further attempt to alleviate traffic problems and help commuters, the Metro Transit has agreed to add about 25 buses to the north end coming south into the city between 6 and 9 a.m. And I want to go over the park and ride areas where those buses will be added. Foley Boulevard in Coon Rapids, served by routes 850 and 852. Maplewood Mall, served by route 270. Northtown Shopping Center in Blaine, served by routes 824, 852, and 854. 63rd Avenue and County Road 81 in Brooklyn Center, served by routes 758 and 767. Rosedale Shopping Center in Roseville, served by Route 260. And finally, Roseville City Hall slash Grace Lutheran Church, served by Route 261. And then, of course, Nancy, since there presumably, hopefully, will be more people taking the bus in from the north tomorrow, the Metro Transit will also beef up the buses heading out of the city at the end of the day tomorrow, getting people back up to the north side of town.
Right. I would expect another announcement from Metro Transit possibly before the noon hour today, as they kind of get a better handle on how many people need to use the buses this morning. That way they can, you know, either, and I'm sure they're going to have to put more buses on the routes, but I am expecting an announcement from Metro Transit before the noon hour.
Indeed, and then don't forget, those of you folks that are internet savvy, that you can go to metrotransit.org. I would imagine that they are updating things as well. Or you can call them between 6:30 a.m. and 9 p.m. at 612-373-3333.
Now, a lot of big names will be coming into Minnesota today, actual federal authorities. We have the Secretary of Transportation, Mary Peters, will be arriving in town, the chairman of the National Transportation Safety Board, Senator Norm Coleman, and Congressman Keith Ellison were all in Washington, D.C. when this happened, and they are all expected to be in Minnesota this morning helping to assess the damage. Senator Norm Coleman said that he has already heard from people in Washington that federal funds will be coming in short order so that they can start to rebuild the bridge. We do have some audio, an interview that our sister TV station KSTP-TV did with a former Minnesota Department of Transportation commissioner. Len Levine was commissioner during the Perpich administration. He's still quite active in the transportation industry, and here are his thoughts.
I think what will happen here in Minnesota now is what happened when the Lake Street Bridge collapsed. It'll be a reassessment of the inspection procedures and all across. You know, it's not only the state federal system that we're talking about, but it'll force in further inspections and increased inspections at the city level and county level.
Now, Governor Pawlenty said earlier tonight that MnDOT had inspected the 35W bridge both in 2005 and as recently as last year, 2006, and they found no structural problems with that bridge. So,
isn't that interesting?
It could be a very long time before they're able to determine exactly what caused the collapse.
Exactly. Now, of course, many events will be impacted either through cancellation or postponement or rescheduling of some kind. And the immediate ones would be the Minnesota Twins are scheduled to play the Kansas City Royals later today. 12:10 start. That ball game has been postponed. Presumably will be made up when the Kansas City Royals make a return trip for another series in the Twin Cities later this season. And then also, Nancy, the highly festive and anticipated groundbreaking for the Minnesota Twins' new baseball stadium that was supposed to take place later today following the ball game has been postponed indefinitely. Dave St. Peter, the president of the Minnesota Twins, was on yesterday in the evening talking with Matt Thomas about that. So that has been thrown out of whack. Now, some things are going on, though, that you might not think would be. The University of Minnesota Twin Cities campus will remain open today. All classes and operations will proceed as planned.
One other thing that I've been kind of kicking around, Dave, is not only the impact this is going to have on motorists who would normally take that route, but people like you and me who normally don't travel that route. We talked about this a little earlier, that being a major interstate, and I stand corrected, it runs from Duluth to Laredo, Texas. That's where it ends. But a very long stretch of highway across the middle of the continent. Think of all the delivery drivers. Think of the mail trucks. Think of the people who deliver goods to the grocery stores. So even though some people may not be impacted right off the bat, it will have kind of a lingering ripple effect, if you will, as far as how goods are transported in and out of the Twin Cities.
Well, absolutely. And I mean, obviously, if you are on regularly traveling any kind of a north-south thoroughfare anymore, like 35E if on the east side of the Twin Cities, or if you're over on the west side on Highway 100, 169 going north and south, those routes will have to get busier, as a lot of the traffic is going to have to find a different way to get around the city. So, you know, we've only begun to see the impact of this. Obviously, the largest and most catastrophic issue is the lives that have been lost and the people that have been injured. But it is going to create an unbelievable logistical mess here in the Twin Cities for a long time to come. I mean, this bridge will not be up a week and a half from now.
No, it won't. And stop and consider how long just some of the transportation projects have taken. For instance, the widening of 494 on the West Metro, that was probably a three-year project. Unweaving the Weave in the Northeast Metro, these things take time, even when they're planned far in advance.
Yeah.
And although the feds have said, yes, we're going to step in with money and we're going to step in with help, and it is an interstate, so, you know, definitely the federal government would want to be involved with that. It'll take time, and it's hard to say just how much time it will take before that bridge is rebuilt and people can cross the river at that point.
Yes, that's for sure. You know, well, one of the things, too, that I find interesting is I don't consider myself a highly emotional person impacted dramatically by that sort of thing. But I got to tell you right now, I don't know that I'd feel really good being stranded on one of the freeway overpasses around here at the moment. I mean,
I'm with you right there. I've always been a little nervous, antsy, if I'm sitting on a bridge and you just kind of feel the, you know, the rumbling as other traffic passes.
Yes.
I think I'll stay away from them for a while if I can.
Yeah, there's that's exactly right. And but, you know, one would have to believe that there are going to be heightened efforts to inspect these things. But I guess the disturbing aspect of this to me, Nancy, is it sounds as though there was not a failure to inspect, and the, you know, the question that raises for a layperson who knows nothing about engineering is, well, that tells you one of two things: either the inspection wasn't done the way that it was supposed to be, or these inspections are not very good at revealing defects.
Well, it was interesting when Len Levine was on KSTP TV. More of what he said was that in Minnesota alone, and I forget the exact number of bridges, and there are a lot in Minnesota, he said at any given time approximately 40 to 50% of them could be found deficient. Now, I can't give you his definition of deficient, but he said the same holds true on a national level, that of all the bridges across the United States, at any given time, about 40 to 50% of those could be found to be deficient.
Well, and of course, you know, like you say, I think the issue there is what exactly is deficient. All right, Nancy, well, thank you very much. We'll talk with you again at 4 o'clock, and I will come back here at 3:30 to do just a little bit more of a summary again. But I am told that right now Channel 5 is the only local television station that is live on the air covering this bridge collapse. Vanita Sakar is on along with Tom Hauser, the morning crew. They got in about 3 hours early, and they will be taking you through the night, as we will right here at the talk station, AM 1500 KSTP.
Throughout the city, from a medical standpoint, it looks like the scene at the bridge, from the information we have, is largely a recovery operation at this time. I don't have an absolute number, but they've gone to several of the hospitals in the Twin Cities area.
Can you tell anything more about the one death here?
No, I don't have any additional information on that. We're still notifying family.
What about the critically injured from earlier? Have you been able to stabilize them?
Yes, we've had four patients who've had surgery. I believe everyone that's here is stable, but there are still critically ill patients here. As far as the six who are critically ill, their condition hasn't been officially changed yet.
Have you been information about the fatality, the age of the person?
No, I don't have any more information at this time.
You mentioned the walking wounded earlier. Have you seen many of these people?
We have not here. Apparently a number of them went to the university hospital and to other hospitals in the area.
What's the patient? Any children?
I'm sorry? Yes, there were a number of children that were taken to North Memorial Hospital, and we received one child here. I just saw him, so I don't know the absolute age. I think it was a teenager. We're still identifying everyone, so that's one of the logistical problems, is making sure we have everyone properly identified.
Are you at all surprised there have not been more patients coming through throughout the
year? Not really. I think that it's a function of how many people are on the bridge at the time. So.
And so you still have 22 non-critical and 6 critical?
I believe that's the number, yes.
No more patients came in after you last talked to us?
No. Yes. Yes.
Could you characterize this type of surgery?
I believe one patient had surgery on their head, craniotomy, and three had abdominal surgery. There was another chest injury that did not require surgery, but required local treatment for that.
Injuries consistent with a fall or?
Fall, crush.
The rest of the night is going to be like?
I think they, from a medical standpoint, the rest of the night should be quiet.
Doctor, are the patients sharing their stories when they're talking to staff?
I'm sorry?
Are patients able to say what happened to staff?
I haven't gotten any information from patients about the situation.
Can you review the types of injuries you get done from what to what?
The types of injuries are blunt force injuries, so the patients who are critical had truncal injuries, abdominal, chest injuries, and head injuries. And then we had extremity injuries and people with various aches and pains. We had one penetrating injury of the chest. The injuries we've had, the critical injuries, were injuries to the trunk, head, one penetrating injury to the chest, and orthopedic injuries.
And again, in terms of response to the hospital, there was never any strain on resources you guys
were ready? No, the hospital responded very, very well. We had plenty of people, medical, non-medical, administrative, transportation, cafeteria. We had a very excellent response. Public safety did an outstanding job. Police, fire, paramedics.
What kind of preparation did the medical center go through in terms of getting ready for something like this?
Well, we do drills, a number of drills throughout the year on various types of disasters.
And has everything from, what's gone on in the hospital standpoint, has everything played out sort of, as much as close to how it's trained as possible?
Nothing ever goes exactly according to plan, but it did play out well. Yes. No, nothing goes exactly according to plan. So I think that will be it tonight from a medical standpoint.
Could you give us a time tomorrow morning? Are you going to be able to give us an update on what? Yeah.
Well, it won't be me giving the update. I think you'll be getting updates from, I would expect, public safety and from the site. I think there are still a number of people who have not been recovered, so that I think that this will be, I'm not sure how this is going to play out, but it'll probably be like any terrible disaster such as this. Huh? No.
Thank you.
I believe it was drowning. I believe. Thank you.
And you were listening to Dr. Joseph Clinton from Hennepin County Medical Center. That was from a few hours ago, a news briefing about the number of wounded that they dealt with there and also the one drowning victim that they also dealt with at Hennepin County Medical Center. And you heard him say no one knows how this is going to play out. And we certainly don't. But we do know what has happened so far. And a man named Jacob Reynolds brought us some amazing pictures. He was on the scene just seconds after the bridge collapsed. And these are pictures he took with his digital camera. They capture some of the chaos and the raw emotion at the very beginning of this disaster.
Now, cars were exploding. There was, you know, popping big, you know, explosions. And I just didn't know what was going to happen to those guys.
Reynolds took dozens of pictures, and we've posted them at KSTP.com if you want to log on and check that out.
As soon as this happened, many members of the clergy arrived at the scene offering some sort of comfort to family members, to people who had just been on the bridge. Well, today we've learned the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis have scheduled prayer services today at noon. If you want to find a place just to gather with other people to pray, the Minneapolis service will be at St. Olaf Catholic Church in St. Paul. Go to the Cathedral of St. Paul. Again, both are at noon today. The Red Cross has set up a command post at the Holiday Inn near the Metrodome. You can call the hotline to check on family members who may have been victims. The number is 612-871-7676. And immediately after this happened, cell phone service was so bad, U.S. Internet had opened up free Wi-Fi, and that is still free right now. They said it was going to last for 12 hours, so another 3 hours free Wi-Fi, just so people could contact each other and communicate in some way, since so many people were wondering if their family member was okay.
Yeah, and we had an email from one of our viewers just in the past hour or so. Actually, it might have just been the last 10 minutes. I forget. We've been looking at a lot of the emails. He said that it wasn't until about 9 o'clock tonight, so 3 hours after this happened, that he found out. I think he said his brother was okay.
Right.
He said he had trouble getting through because so many of the cell phone lines were jammed and they couldn't get through. That's why they didn't want people making non-emergency calls to stay off their phone.
He was watching our coverage looking to see if his brother's car might be in there.
And he's not alone. There had to be hundreds, if not thousands, of people watching television tonight wondering if they were going to see a car that they recognized there on the bridge, especially if they know a loved one travels that route quite a bit.
We are here. We are the only Twin Cities television station right now live on the air gathering more news for you on this bridge collapse.
And we're going to be back in just a few moments with some more details on what is happening at the University of Minnesota. Of course, this happened right near the U of M. We'll tell you what the plans are for the U of M in the coming day.
Fly ball! Now pitching, Dave Black.
Dave is about to catch his opponent off guard. Not with his nasty fastball. No, instead of a fastball, Dave will be hurling a tomato. And the pitch. Ooh. Using tomatoes as baseballs won't go over well with anyone. But if you're looking to hit the ball further and throw better, eating a healthy diet that includes fruits and vegetables is a home run. Packed with nutrients, they could help keep your body healthy and strong, giving you the energy you need to hit that grand slam. When you look at it this way, eating tomatoes is playing hardball against the competition. Run, throw, think, eat better. Can your food do that? Find out at smallstep.gov.
That's smallstep.gov.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
AM 1500, KSTP.
University of Minnesota will be open today for classes. In a letter to staff, students, and the community, University President Robert Brunick said, quote, "The collapse of the Interstate 35W bridge over the Mississippi River was shocking, saddening, and a sobering reminder of human mortality. We all feel the pain and suffer this loss that hit so close to home. After assessing the impact of the bridge collapse on our Twin Cities campus operations, as well as the accessibility of campus by transit and alternative routes, we made the decision that it would be in the best interests of the university to remain open."
The bridge collapsed just before the Timberwolves were set to introduce new players acquired in the Kevin Garnett trade. Remember, that was the huge story yesterday. Seems so little now. Team owner Glenn Taylor's granddaughter was on that bridge when it happened. We do know now that she's okay. She's a little bit older. She's in her 20s. Here's what Glenn said to us yesterday.
Well, first of all, my granddaughter is part of it, so I would be emotional no matter what, but this is a family thing, so there's just more important things in life than the basketball team, and I just thought this is appropriate time. Let's pray and care about the families that are family members or their friends that are involved in this tragedy, and that's what I'm going to concentrate on. And we can always get together and talk about our fun things in life as sports, and we'll do that at a later date. Life is filled with unexpected events, and we adjust to them, but in this sense, the community has to come together and take care of those that are involved in this tragic event.
You know, in hearing that, you think about that Kevin Garnett trade. That was the huge story yesterday and, you know, earlier this week as it was being announced, and now it just seems so long ago and so insignificant in light of everything that's happened.
Yeah, and Glenn Taylor clearly feels that way, his granddaughter narrowly escaping the fate of so many who have been killed in this accident or seriously or critically wounded. So, and again, we don't even know how high this injury toll and the death toll is going to climb, but certainly everything has been put in perspective. And the Minnesota Twins understand that as well. In the light of this bridge collapse so close to the Metrodome, the Minnesota Twins have postponed this afternoon's game versus Kansas City. The game was scheduled for 12:10 today. It will not happen. The game, or the team, was also scheduled to break ground on the new Twins ballpark. That was supposed to be the big deal in downtown Minneapolis later today, and they were expecting 10 to 20,000 people perhaps to show up for that. Those events have been canceled for today and will be rescheduled at a later date along with today's game.
They ended up going on with the game yesterday after a moment of silence because of the fact that they didn't want the 25,000 fans getting back out into that area as rescuers were trying to find victims. Senator Amy Klobuchar spoke with John Mason and Cindy Brocato late last night. Tell me what your take is from Washington, D.C., please.
Well, Senator Coleman and I believe Congressman Ellison are going to be coming out very early in the morning with Secretary of Transportation Peters and to survey the damage and see everything that we can do to help. I spoke with Secretary Peters, and she, of course, has offered all the resources that they have. I've talked to Patty Murray, who is the head of the Transportation Appropriations Committee in the House, same pledge in the Senate, the same pledge from the Senate. And then finally, I just got off the phone with the investigator for the Transportation Board, and they are the Safety Board, and they are going to be heading out. In fact, they're on their way. This is the same group that investigated the tragic accident in Boston with the Big Dig, mm-hmm. And so they're familiar with this, and they're going to have a team on the ground in the morning. Obviously, all of this is important, but the most important thing is to help the people, the survivors, and make sure they're getting all the care they need and that the area has been combed. And I know that our officers and the cities and the counties are doing that on the ground. We have always had such an impressive rescue group. But the next step is going to be to investigate what went wrong, and that's what the National Transportation Safety Board will do. And then from there, we will begin to fix this horrible situation.
You know, Senator, the condition of the nation's roads and bridges has been a topic of some serious discussion, and it seems like quite a bit of concern recently. I'm thinking in the last 5 years or so. I know you've not been all that long in Washington, D.C., but have you encountered concerns about this?
Well, as you know, I've only been here a few months, but mm-hmm. we have been concerned about transportation funding over the years, and but again, we really don't know the cause of this. This is only a mile from my own home. I travel on that bridge every day when I'm home, and it's just unbelievable to me.
Right. Well, Senator, thank you. We'll probably be touching base with you tomorrow. You said you and Senator Coleman are arriving here tomorrow morning.
We are getting first thing in the morning, and we will be there. We want to be there with all of the officers and the firefighters and the hospital personnel that have been, I'm sure, will be up all night. We're continuing to ask people not to use, whenever possible, 612-651 area codes. It's very hard for people to get through and to allow the emergency workers to do their work. That is the first priority tonight. And being the former county attorney, I know the work and planning that's gone in for these kinds of disasters. We've had practices before when I was county attorney. We never thought a disaster like this would actually happen.
And former Transportation Commissioner Len Levine also joined Cindy and John on the set several hours ago. He, again, is a former Transportation Commissioner. Let's take a look now at what he had to tell us.
Now, we're joined here in our studio by former Transportation Commissioner Len Levine. Commissioner Levine, you were commissioner in the Perfetch administration, and in fact, actually all the way up until 1991, when Governor Carlson became a commissioner, and you were the commissioner when there was a similar, well, there was a bridge collapse, not a similar bridge collapse, but a bridge collapse.
It brought back vivid memories to me. Coincidentally, I just came back from Washington, D.C., and I was in the office of Congressman Overstar, and went to the airport. And when I landed, my wife called me and asked me if I had heard what had happened. So it brought back memories of what happened that Friday night when the Lake Street Bridge collapsed. And when I arrived at the scene, I was there before, right away. I don't live far from there. And there was a lot of miscommunication. There was a disconnect. We thought there were 21 people
killed. Have you recently sustained storm damage?
And so I know what they're going through, and it's and I know what they're going to be going through.
It appears that we have of course we do have improved communication from the technology alone, John.
And we're going to have a news conference at 8 in about 6 minutes, so we're going to warn you right now, Commissioner. We're going to be bouncing around here a little bit. The City Hall, the mayor will be there, the governor will be there. We had pulled from the University of Minnesota website this report, and I don't know how specifically you can talk about this, but walk us through this language. It's from 2001. The research helped determine that the fatigue cracking of the deck truss is not likely, which means that the bridge should not have any problems with fatigue cracking in the foreseeable future.
Well, John, I'm not a structural engineer, and I think you need to talk to a structural engineer to answer that specifically. But I can tell you that in Minnesota, we have close to 20,000 bridges statewide. At any one time, the statistics will show that there's between 40 and 50% of those bridges are rated deficient. Now, the deficiency can be structural deficiency. It could be rusting. I mean, it could be a number of different things. And so it doesn't mean that half of the bridges are ready to collapse. Across the country, there's close to 600,000 bridges. That same percentage applies across the country. I think what will happen here in Minnesota now is what happened when the Lake Street Bridge collapsed. It'll be a reassessment of the inspection procedures, mm-hmm. and all across. You know, it's not only the state federal system that we're talking about, but it'll force in further inspections and increased inspections at the city level and county level.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not the time for anyone to criticize anybody. And as far as the, and I just want to say this too, about a week ago I was in the bridge office here at MnDOT. The chief bridge inspector or engineer Dan Dorgan is really one of the finest, most experienced bridge people in the country.
And he has spanned many administrations. He's not a political.
He's not a political, and I think you really want to talk to him. I'm confident that at MnDOT in the bridge office, there's a high degree of competency as good as any place in the country. And what's complicated here now is that there's debris, there's people, there's cars, they'll have to block off the bridge, they have to block off the river, they have to salvage what they can. We had rain also in those years, and that complicates it. It's a very complicated and very trying situation.
Is the Minnesota Department of Transportation the primary body that inspects, oversees, and that will be involved in any kind of, a reconstruction of what's going on?
Well, as you know, there's a close working relationship between the Federal Highway Administration, and there's a local office here, and the Minnesota DOT.
So
they work closely together. And I know the people at Hennepin County and Ramsey County, they're really competent bridge people there. So, you know, this will renew the discussion on funding, how much you can patch, how much you need to reconstruct. All of those issues will now come up again, as they do whenever there's an incident like this.
And we're being told that the work being done on this bridge today, patching, filling cracks, routine work, summertime work, no significant structural work. That goes on all the time.
Well, I remember when I was commissioner, the Wabasha Street Bridge in St. Paul, it was over 100 years old. It had a kind of a pin. It was news to me how that was constructed. And they said that time, if you get too much traffic on the bridge at any one time, vibration can cause a problem. Or if somebody hits a pier, it can knock it over. So it's frightening, you know, to people. And you have to rely on people who are trained in the structural engineering field. So that's why I say I think the public can know that MnDOT, and to answer your question specifically, we're in good hands with MnDOT. What they find here is another issue, but I'm sure you're not going to find incompetence on the part of mm-hmm. the bridge people. I mean, I know who they are, and they're very, very qualified. But what happens now in this whole process, I guess we'll have to find.
A 40-year-old bridge, is that a baby by bridge standards?
Well, bridges can go a long time depending on what kind of maintenance it's had, what kind of repairs. You know, traffic's increasing, as you know, 4 to 10% a year. The roads are getting clogged. fog. There's heavier trucks today. There's vibration that causes these problems. Bridges get an overlay. It's like putting sometimes a Band-Aid on a cancer. You can only repair them so long until you have to replace them. So I don't know the specifics of this bridge. And as I said, when I got off the plane, I was shocked. I looked at the TV and mm-hmm. I know just from actually what I've heard now.
It breaks your heart.
It's horrible.
Let's get another report then, if you don't mind staying here, Commissioner Levine. Let's take a look here. Go out to Bob McDaney, who is in Chopper 5. Bob?
Yeah, we just want to give you a perspective of how broad-based this problem is going to be. Obviously, we've got the human tragedy on the ground, but this is going to be quite disruptive.
AM 1500, KSTP.
If you've recently sustained storm damage or have been thinking about replacing your old worn-out roof, then you'll want to hear what John Haley, president of John Haley Number One Roofer, has to say. John, what makes your company different from all the other roofing companies?
I pay attention to the details on the roof. The details are what really matters on the roof. You've got to do the detail areas properly. That's where your house is going to leak. Anybody can put the shingles on your roof and make them look good. Your underlayments are your watertight system of your roof. You need to have your underlayments installed properly. If your underlayments are not turned up your sidewalls, your walls are going to leak. That's what I pay attention to. I've got a reputation for being the pickiest roofer in town.
That was John Haley, president of John Haley Number One Roofer. If you think it's time to have your roof looked at, call John Haley, Number One Roofer, at 952-925-6156. That's John Haley, Number One Roofer, at 952-925-6156. Who should you call when it's time to get a new roof?
John Haley, Number One Roofer.
You save big money, you save big money.
Stop into Menards, where you'll get big closeout savings on patio furniture, lawn decor, and more. Enjoy the last bit of summer and get a head start on next year. Steel and wrought iron patio sets are 20% off. Aluminum sets are 25% off. Choose from a variety of styles. All wood and wicker patio sets are 30% off now at Menards. All lawn decor, arbors, and shepherd hooks also 30% off. This is a great opportunity to save big money on great items. But hurry in. These deals are only good while supplies last. Plus, there's zero interest till 2009 on qualifying purchases with your Menards big card. And while you're shopping, register to win a 2008 Dodge Avenger.
Save big money at Menards.
The Talk Station, AM 1500 KSTP.
All right, I'm Dave Thompson, and we're here with you all night. We're not going to any syndicated programming or going off the air. I'll be here until 5 o'clock, at which time Willie Clark and Jay Coles will be in to take over. And, of course, we've been keeping you up to date with live continuing coverage from 5 Eyewitness News, the morning crew now in, Vanita Sakar and Tom Hauser. We are inching steadily closer to the morning rush hour, which we'll be into in a couple of hours. And, once again, just the reminder, for those of you who have not heard or thought about this, it is essential that you do not pass through downtown Minneapolis under any circumstance other than, I suppose, a dire emergency. And if you do need to get into the city, you're coming from the north, you're not going to be able to use 35W. Highway 280 is being converted into a temporary freeway, meaning that the cross streets are not going to be able to access 280. The lights will be green running north and south on 280, and it will function as a temporary freeway. Also, and I won't give the exhaustive list right now, but there are a number of park-and-rides on bus routes coming in from the North Metro that will have increased buses to help with the congestion that we anticipate here in the city tomorrow. Between 6 and 9 a.m., 25 extra buses will be running. We'll restate all of those park and rides as we do a little update here with Nancy Fox and myself at 4 o'clock. Suffice it to say that if you want to find out the specifics, you can go to metrotransit.org, or you can call Metro Transit between 6:30 in the morning and 9 p.m. at 612-373-3333. Kenny Olson, by the way, is coming in about 20 minutes at 4 o'clock, so I anticipate it won't be too long till we'll have a traffic update for him. Just keep in mind, be thinking about how you can move east and west across the metro area without going through Minneapolis, using 494, 62 Crosstown, 694, 36 for part of that commute, whatever the case may be. Obviously, going north and south, you're going to have to take 35E through St. Paul if you're going from the south end of the metro to the north or vice versa. Or on the west side, you can take 100 north and south or 169, 494 over there. But you're going to have to avoid downtown Minneapolis. Folks, there really is not a lot of new information coming out right now. Obviously, the recovery effort has been put on hold as they can't do their job in the dark. And they will resume that in the morning. The last I heard, there will be some sort of an organizational meeting and then get going about 6 a.m. as there's enough sunlight at that point to start doing some things. We have reports from various sources of 7 people confirmed dead as a result of this bridge collapse. The Star Tribune is actually reporting 9 dead. Also, most of the reports are indicating about 60 people injured and still 20 missing. The groundbreaking for the Minnesota Twins Stadium that was scheduled for later today has been postponed. We do not yet have information as to when that will be rescheduled. Also, the Minnesota Twins against the Kansas City Royals, a game that was supposed to take place today at the Metrodome starting at 12:10, has also been postponed and presumably will be made up during a another trip that the Kansas City Royals are making here to the Twin Cities later in the year. If you'd like to help out by giving money or giving blood to the Memorial Blood Center, they would be happy to get your help. In fact, they are encouraging that at this point. You can make an appointment by calling sometime between 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. 1-888-GIVE-BLD. That's 1-888-GIVE-BLD. University of Minnesota tomorrow, operating at full strength, classes and administration and all that stuff going on as usual. And finally, I suspect the numbers of people that this would apply to are getting fewer and fewer. But for anyone out there who may have a loved one that is as of yet unaccounted for, and you may have some concern as to where the whereabouts of that person, the Red Cross is there to try to help you. You can reach them at 612-871-7676. That's 612-871-7676. You will not get a person to speak with, but you can leave a message and they will attempt to get back to you as quickly as possible. The governor, of course, making a statement, and we've got the politicians coming in. Senators Norm Coleman and Amy Klobuchar will be coming in along with Representative Keith Ellison and also the Transportation Commissioner. They're expected to arrive in the Twin Cities early tomorrow. In fact, I believe, if I recall correctly, Senator Coleman said they were getting a 5 o'clock flight out of Washington, which would be 4 our time. So if that's all going as scheduled, they should be just about to take off from Washington and head our direction. And to reiterate, we will keep live coverage here. I'll be around now until 5 o'clock. Nancy Fox will be in with me here at 4 to give a little bit more of an extensive update. And then Willie and Jay will be starting their show a half hour early at 5 o'clock. So this is your go-to station. We'll be here to talk to you about what's going on with all of these things. Right now, not much changing in the news, but we do anticipate that to change as we get into the daylight hours and the rescuers and the recoverers, if that is a word, will be able to get restarted. All right, as I said, Tom Hauser and Vanita Sakar are live in the studio for Channel 5, and we are going to return to that coverage right here at the talk station, AM 1500 and KSTP.
Emails that we want to share with you. A lot of you have been sending emails since this happened, and this one kind of struck me here. I'm going to read it off the computer screen here in our desk. This person had written saying Facebook is inundated right now with 30 different groups in support and praying for this recent tragedy from all over the country, some of which have over 100 people, and it's steadily rising. And of course, this is a way for people to communicate and let people know that, yes, I'm okay. And of course, this is a very popular thing with college students right now, Facebook.
And we're amazed at how many of you are emailing us even now, overnight. It's amazing how many people are up still watching this coverage, people fascinated by it. One of the more interesting emails we've gotten was from someone who said, I believe his wife worked at a local hospital, and he was talking about a local pizza company delivered free pizzas to the hospital for the emergency workers, just, you know, out of the goodness of their heart, you know, they came and did that. And, you know, we're getting emails, Vanita, from a lot of viewers who, not everybody was in front of their sets from 6 until midnight. A lot of people were just getting home after midnight, and a lot of this coverage they're seeing for the first time. That's why we are replaying a lot of it for you, even if some of you who've been with us for the last 9 hours or so have seen a lot of this. There's a lot of viewers out there who haven't seen much of this video, and so that's why we're repeating a lot of it.
And in seeing this video, even if you've seen it a lot of times, it still takes a while for you to digest it, as because you almost need to look at it over and over again to even realize that this is truly happening.
And it's also important to note that we realize many of you are directly impacted by this. We had an email from a man just an hour or two ago saying that he was frantically watching our coverage to see if he saw his brother's vehicle anywhere in the wreckage, and then he finally was able to get through on a cell phone, even though a lot of the signals were jammed, at about 9 o'clock tonight before he finally heard his brother's voice and found out he was okay. So we're glad to hear that.
And we want to let you know, too, that we will be on the air throughout the morning, and we have been since it happened. As we mentioned, we are the only TV station on because we feel this story is way too important, and too many people want to know the latest about what's going on, so we want to be there to give you that information. Our sports director, Rod Simons, was one of the first news reporters on the scene of the bridge collapse yesterday. He spoke with some of the first witnesses.
Good morning. We were actually on the other side of town away from the bridge at the Target Center. The Timberwolves were having a news conference introducing the players who were going to replace Kevin Garnett in the Timberwolves lineup. When we heard about the bridge collapse, we immediately made our way down West River Road. Now, what was interesting is when we got close to the bridge, you could see the people running away from the bridge. That's when we heard a lot of stories about what had happened.
We all saw this bus in the bridge collapse, and as frightening as it appeared to us, words can't even begin to describe the terror this young passenger was feeling.
And then just as we passed it, we just, like, the bridge just went down, like, it just went down, it collapsed. We were all just screaming, everybody was, like, scared and shocked.
Jay-Z wasn't alone. Also caught in the collapse, this family visiting from Houston, here to shop and get an introduction to the University of Minnesota.
We all felt like we were going to die. My daughter was hysterical. She's about to start college. We had just shopped at Mall of America.
You know, I heard this loud bang, so I slammed on the brakes. And then I saw a couple cars in front of me. But then I saw, like, something disappear in front of me, and then my car pointed straight down.
All I remember feeling is just feeling this boom, boom, and then we just kept, and my husband was saying, are y'all all right? Are you all right? I think it fell 4 times.
I just feel blessed that we weren't, you know, injured at all.
And this might seem obvious, but you could just imagine how some of those survivors are feeling. All the people that I spoke to said one thing, glad they were wearing their seatbelt because they weren't thrown out of their car and they were able to get to safety. By the I-35W Bridge in Minneapolis, Rod Simons, 5 Eyewitness News.
Late last night, top Minneapolis officials, along with Governor Pawlenty, updated recovery efforts at the scene in a live news conference. We want to take you back. Let's listen in.
It's a very dynamic situation, and we'll be confirming more details as the night goes on. The incident is now in control, under the control of the Minneapolis Fire Department. Rocco Forte, our emergency preparedness commander, is in charge of that, using resources, significant resources, from the county, the state, and federal officials. We have significant resources on site. At this point, we have searched approximately 50 cars. We have confirmed 6 dead. And we are continuing the search. We have concern that this will be a very tragic night when it is over. And so we will be continuing our work. We will be returning in approximately an hour or two with more information on that. But there are several pieces of information we'd like your help in getting out as quickly as possible. First and foremost, because there's great concern, we want to make sure that those who urgently need to use their cell phones can. So we ask everyone to please make as little use of your cell phone as possible with respect for those who obviously need it quite desperately this evening. We also want to send a message to anyone who is in the Metrodome at the Twins game tonight that they are obviously safe, but we are sending them all down 2 streets, 4th and 6th Street in the city. The light rail will also be operating, and so we want to make sure that as that crowd comes out tonight, that they move toward the downtown area, not toward the incident. We greatly appreciate the support of the citizens and staying away from the site because obviously we need to have our resources at full maximum at that point. So what I wanted to do now is turn it over to Chief Dolan to talk a bit more about the incident, to Governor Pawlenty, and then we'll turn to Ted Canova of the Red Cross. Chief?
Just tell you, at this point, all survivors that were on the bridge were off the bridge. We're also, as far as the construction workers are concerned, we've accounted for all the construction workers except for one. We have assistance from Red Cross and numerous other agencies, State Patrol, St. Paul, others. We have water rescue and recovery going on right now. We have the resources that we need at this time. Would also say that we are clearing out personnel from that area. Perimeter security is our main concern right now, and we are clearing out those areas. You'll see officers checking other bridges. That's just as a precaution. We don't believe at this time that we have anything other than a bridge collapse. I just want to add that right now that we did have a school bus full of youth. Those youth have been released to their parents. And we'll have information here about a site for family members that are concerned and where they can go, and we'll give that information a little bit later. That's it.
Thank you.
Obviously, this is a catastrophe of historic proportions for Minnesota. And right now we are focused on making sure we do anything and everything to respond to the needs of those individuals who may have been harmed in this incident. And so the mayor described a command and control structure where the Minneapolis Fire Department has the lead in that regard, but they are being assisted by law enforcement and emergency responders from across the metro area, including federal officials, state officials, county officials. That includes law enforcement, includes firefighting, includes paramedics or EMSs, technicians. It includes the sheriff's office. It includes the DNR and various water resources. You saw a National Guard Black Hawk helicopter on the nearby bridge in case there were medevac needs or other needs that they could help with. So there is a substantial and massive response. I was on site earlier this evening and had a chance to visit and see the site. It is obviously a catastrophe, and first and foremost, we want to say to the families who are being impacted by this that our hearts and prayers are with you, but we also want to make sure that you know that we are doing everything we can to make sure that we respond as quickly as we can to the needs of this emergency. A couple of other just quick items, and we'll turn it over to the Red Cross. First of all, I was on the phone with Secretary Peters from the Federal Transportation Authority. She's going to be here early tomorrow morning. She has pledged all of the federal government's resources and help, but we've received gestures from Speaker Pelosi and the congressional delegation that they stand by and are willing to help in any way possible. As to the bridge itself, it was built in 1967. It's a somewhat unique structure in the way that it was designed. It was inspected both in 2005 and 2006. There were no structural deficiencies identified in the bridge. According to MnDOT, there were some cosmetic or minor repair items that needed some attention, but no structural defects or deficits identified in the bridge. They notified us from an engineering standpoint the deck may have to be rehabilitated or replaced in 2020 or beyond, but no immediate or noted structural problems with the bridge. I should also note, however, that there was construction taking place on the bridge relating to concrete repair and rehabilitation and replacement, guardrail replacement, lighting replacement, and work on the joints. That was being done, started recently. It was scheduled to be completed in September of 2007. We also, of course, will be, once this initial response is conducted, we will also be working to deal with traffic issues and rebuilding issues, and we'll address that in more detail. But obviously, there's going to need to be a very dramatic rerouting of traffic and transit patterns, and we're already working on those plans through the Met Council and others to try to plan for those scenarios. But right now, we're focused on the rescue and recovery efforts, and I think right now we're going to hear from the Red Cross about a request that they have.
Thank you, Governor. It's been a very difficult night, as you can imagine. The Twin Cities Red Cross
became the staging area for law enforcement officials, city officials. In the parking lot right now, it was transformed into a parking lot of 80 cars, into a parking lot with five command vehicles and two masts for communications, boats and police officers on horseback, all kinds of scenarios like that. Our hearts go out to all of the victims, everybody who was involved in this. The Red Cross was also the site that the 60 kids were taken from the school bus that you saw. Those 60 kids, a few of them had some injuries. Two may have been more severe than the other ones, but totally, we believe, up to 10 kids were transported to area hospitals out of the 60.
That was a look back at a news conference from last night after the collapse of the bridge. I just want to update you if you're just getting in, just watching our coverage here. Maybe you just got in from work, work a different shift. We are reporting that seven people were killed in that bridge collapse. So is the Associated Press. The Star Tribune is reporting nine people have been killed. We are in agreement that 20 are missing right now, at least at this point. 20 are unaccounted for and 60 people are injured in the bridge collapse. Again, we are the only Twin Cities television station on right now. We feel this story is of historic proportions. We want to be here to cover every angle of it and bring you any new information as soon as it becomes available. We have a newsroom full of people right now tracking down the latest information. We will be right back.
Total Alarm Company, this is Todd.
Yeah, hi. Can you guys handle pretty big jobs?
How big are we talking?
Well, super duper big, Todd.
Yeah, this is my dad's business. I just work here summers.
Well, he is going to be so proud of you. You are about to lock in a deal to install a smoke alarm system in every single forest in America.
Cool. Like the buildings there? The ranger places?
No, the forest.
I don't understand.
Well, we are a group of concerned citizens, and we want to install alarm systems in the forest to alert the animals. You guys probably see the effects of people's lack of respect for fire all the time, right?
Yeah. Dad?
Yeah.
This is Claude. What can I do for you?
Can you install a smoke alarm system in every forest in America?
It's a joke.
No, we just want to combat people's bad behavior and warn the animals when there's a fire.
Only you can prevent wildfires. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, the Ad Council, and this station.
Well, as we've been showing you, many people rushed to the scene trying to help the many victims of this tragedy. Mark Elbert spoke with many of those who wanted to pitch in.
In most disasters, people run from the scene. Here we saw that, but we also saw hundreds more running toward it to help. As flames continued to lick at the crumpled bridge and smoke filled the raw chasm of concrete, thousands rushed to see the devastation and to help.
We called out the hospital to let them know what was happening, but 911 was jammed, actually, and you couldn't even get through.
I'm CPR trainer and first aid certified, so I decided to come down and see if I could help at all. And apparently we're not able to help yet.
Does that make you frustrated?
It does, because I'd like to be able to get down there and actually try to help somebody out.
Think about the parking lot here. We don't know what's going to happen with that. Everybody, we're moving this back.
The faces told of shock and dismay, of worry and disbelief.
There's a car on fire right there. It's crushed. There's some dead people.
Crews on the University Avenue Southeast on-ramp to 35W South began erecting barricades, keeping people away, as more rescue boats headed to the river for those still trapped hours after the horror began. And many of those people on those bridges, on those overpasses, using their cell phones, calling friends and family around the country to let them know that they were okay. In Minneapolis, Mark Albert, 5 Eyewitness News.
You got some calls, too.
Calls and emails.
So did I. Mm-hmm. Okay. We're continuing to follow this. We'll be right back. Ooh, I'm home.
This is your sofa speaker. I've been waiting for you all day.
Wait, hold on. I am being sweet-talked by the couch?
That's right. Just sit down here on your comfy couch and don't move a muscle.
Mm.
Let's just sit and watch TV.
Oh, I really shouldn't.
Come in, let me give you some sugar. You still love chocolate, don't you?
Back off, couch man.
Dorothy?
I'm tired of what you're doing to my friend. Ayana, don't let him sweet-talk you.
But, baby...
That's enough from you. Let's go window shopping, girl. Like maybe for a new couch.
When temptation is calling, call on your sisters to provide you with the motivation and love you need. Eat right, get active, and reduce your risk of cancer, diabetes, heart disease, and stroke. Go for success with the power of sisterhood. For more information, go to everydaychoices.org. Brought to you by the American Cancer Society, the American Diabetes Association, the American Heart Association, the Ad Council, and this station.
When I was young, I was convicted of a gun crime and served 10 years in a federal prison. But that was nothing compared to the 120 months my brother had to walk home alone.
Hey, little man, come here. What you got on your back?
Or the 520 weeks of sleepless nights my mother faced. Over 3,000 days my sister was left afraid. That's over 80,000 hours I spend wishing I could turn back the clock. And in the end, I spend over 5 million minutes waiting to get out so I could be there for my family.
When's Daddy coming home?
All the while, my family counted the 315,360,000 seconds until they knew I was back home.
When you go to jail for a gun crime, your family serves a sentence with you. Gun crimes hit home. This message brought to you by Project Safe Neighborhoods and the Ad Council.
KSTP, St. Paul, Minneapolis.
It's 4 o'clock. You are listening to the talk station, AM 1500 KSTP. I am joined now not only by Nancy Fox, but also by our traffic reporter, Kenny Olson, who has the latest information for us. Kenny, welcome, and thank you for coming back in and getting in early and working through the night. Why don't you let the folks in on what's going on out